Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So we're talking about sacrifice, and you know, I'm Vince, how you doing? You know, sacrifice is interesting because when you make a sacrifice, you're giving up something you don't want to give up, right? You're giving up something you love, but typically you're giving it up for something you love more. And so it's actually a beautiful thing. Like, you consider it a beautiful thing to be able to give up something you love for something you love more. And I've been thinking about this because the opposite is true as well. Like, if you're asked to give something up, but there's not, like, love as the motivation and the driving force, it's interesting that I think being asked to make that sacrifice rather than being beautiful is actually, it's kind of offensive, right? You know, if somebody asks you to do something and you don't want to do it and there's not love involved, you're like, how dare you? Like that's a lot to ask for me. You can't ask that of me. But if there's love, it's like, well, that's beautiful. I've made a few sacrifices in my life, probably not enough, but like one time when we were just recently married, my wife and I actually just had our 16th anniversary on Friday. Thank you very much. You don't have to clap. But when we were just married about 16 years ago, one Christmas, I got her a diamond tennis bracelet. Now, don't be impressed because like our budget for gifts was like 50 bucks or something. And so it was like a really little teeny kind of cute diamond tennis bracelet. And when she got it, that's what she said. She's like, oh, it's so cute. And I said, I thought you'd like a diamond tennis bracelet. And she went, there's diamonds? Like there, you couldn't really see the diamonds. And but she liked it. It was a little bit too big. So she said, hey, you're going to have it resized. I said, no problem. Well, in the meantime, Jen's grandmother, my wife's grandmother, gives everybody in the family $100 every Christmas. And so it's pretty cool because whatever you didn't get, whatever you're hoping to get, you can go out and buy that with $100. You have $100 just for you. And so I got the $100, and I went to the jeweler place in the store to return or to get the resized bracelet. And when the guy was starting to look at it and resize it, I looked down and I saw this other tennis bracelet, and you could actually see the diamonds. And I realized it was like $100 more than the one I bought. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, hey, can I just return that one and get this one instead? And so I brought my wife home the bracelet, and she said, wait, I can see the diamonds. This isn't the same bracelet. But it was kind of cool because I didn't want to do it, honestly. I mean, that was my $100. I had a list of things that I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my $100 that I could spend on me. And $100 was a lot of money for me back then, and maybe still today. But it was like, yeah, this is a big deal. But I'm willing to give up something I love for something I love more. And so it was kind of beautiful. It wasn't like an offensive thing for me to do. It was beautiful. A couple years later, we had been married for 3 years, and we had never had a vacation of any sort. We had never been away, and so we decided to go on vacation because we had 2 free plane tickets. We had like gotten bumped on a flight, and so we were going to fly to Florida and stay at a friend's house. We could stay for free, and we got excited about it, started to plan it, and we realized the only week we could go was this one certain week in March. That was when we can get off of work and stuff like that. Well, there's a problem because I quickly realized that it was the same week as March Madness, the NCAA tournament. If you know me, you know I love the NCAA tournament. Like, just so you get a little bit better feel for who I am, here is my order of priorities, my order of loves in life, in order. 1, God. 2, NCAA tournament. 3, my wife. 4, baseball. 5, Chinese food. 6, my kids. But my kids are still kind of young. They still have a chance to work their way up a spot or two if they're good. We'll see. So I realized if I go on this vacation, I don't know if I'm going to get to see any of the games, and I'd rather watch basketball than go on this vacation. But my wife really wanted to do it, and so I said, all right, let's go. And it was kind of cool because I was giving up something I loved, but for something I loved more, right, for my wife. And so it was actually kind of a beautiful thing to get to do. Now, I got to be honest and give you the postscript on that story, which is we ended up laying on a beach in Florida, my wife laying out on her towel and me laying with a towel over me so I could better see the TV I brought with me, and because the sun, the glare, so I just sat there and watched the NCAA tournament on the beach. So it wasn't that much of a sacrifice, but you get the idea. When you make a sacrifice for someone you love, it's a beautiful thing, and it reveals a lot about your heart. Right? It shows what you really love. And you realize, man, I love this, but I'm willing to give this up for this because I love this more. But again, you take the idea of love out of that sacrifice. It's not beautiful. It's offensive. It's how dare you ask me to do that. I would never do that for you. You're offended at being asked, right? It reveals a lot about your heart when you make a sacrifice. What else it does is it expands your heart. When you make a sacrifice for someone, there's something about it that kind of grows your heart for the person you're making the sacrifice for. It kind of bonds you together, right? Like if you get up super early to drive your friend to the airport, you kind of realize, man, we're really tight, that I'm willing to do this for you. And the person realizes, man, you really care about me, that and there's this bonding thing that happens. Or when you spend your money on your wife's bracelet, it's like it grows your heart for that person. And that's why we're going to talk about sacrifice today. We started this brand new series last week called The Me I Want to Be. And what we're talking about is, like, how do we grow spiritually? How do I grow to become more like Jesus? How do I grow closer to God? Because I think that's why we show up, is because there is a better version of me that I want to be, but I don't know how to get there. And so last week we said, listen, here's the secret. You don't get there by wanting to. Okay, you don't become the me you want to be because you want to be that person. It just doesn't work like that. Instead, the way we grow in anything, but especially spiritually, is through establishing healthy habits that promote growth, right? Just like physical fitness. You get fit by doing the kind of things, eating right and exercising, and then all of a sudden, look, magically, you're fit. And it's the same spiritually. You have to establish healthy habits that promote spiritual growth. And one of those habits is sacrifice. It's making sacrifices for God because it reveals our heart and it expands our heart for God. In fact, the Bible would make the case that you can't be a follower of Jesus. You can't be a Christian without sacrificing. There's no such thing as a person who gives their life to God and then doesn't make sacrifices for God. In fact, the Bible kind of teaches us that we should offer our entire lives as a sacrifice for God. We've looked at this verse before, but check out Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We'll put it up on the screen for you. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, we could throw in sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so the idea is, not only should you be willing to give up some things, you should be willing to give up anything and everything. God's worth that. And we want our love to be so great that there's nothing I love more than God. And so I'm willing to give up anything he asked me to give up. And so today we're going to talk about, what are some of the sacrifices God asks us to make so that we grow and expand our hearts towards him, so that we become the me we want to be? Couple things before we hit those sacrifices. One is, a sacrifice is only a sacrifice if you give up something that you don't want to give up, right? Is that true? Like if we went to lunch and you said, hey, Vince, can I have the tomato off your burger? I would say, sure, and I would give it to you, but it would not be a sacrifice because I hate tomatoes, all right? And so I didn't do anything special. But if you said, hey, can I have your French fries? I'd be like, oh. Okay, because I want my French fries. And so, like, giving those up, that's a sacrifice. So it's only a sacrifice if it's something you don't want to give up. So today, as we talk about this, if you find yourself going, wait a second, I don't want to give that up. Yeah, exactly. It's a sacrifice. The other thing I would say is, remember, when you think about sacrifice, it reveals your heart. And so it's either a beautiful thing because you realize, I love that thing more than this thing that I'm giving up. And so it's beautiful to give it up. Or it's an offensive thing because there's not enough love for that thing for me to want to give up this thing, right? And so I would kind of encourage you to kind of monitor your responses to these sacrifices that God asks you to make. And just sort of like look inside yourself and say, how am I reacting to the fact that God wants me to give this up? Do I think of it as a beautiful thing? You know, man, if I were to do that, that'd be beautiful. And if so, that shows, it reveals a lot about your heart. There's some love for God there. Or you go, man, I'm kind of offended right now. I can't believe God would ask me to do that. I can't believe Vince is up there asking me to do that. And if so, what that reveals is a lack of love, right? And if that's the case, that's okay. That's why we're here, because together we're trying to learn how to love God and love people and turn the world upside down. So three sacrifices God asks us to make. The first is a sacrifice of our busyness, which we're going to call slowing. Okay, a sacrifice of our busyness, which we're going to call slowing. You know, the reality is that we are busy people, aren't we? I mean, we're all like running around. We've got these major agendas and 16 to-do lists, and like we've got way more to do than we can do, and our heads are spinning. And here's the deal: we all complain about it, right? We all say, "Oh, my life's too busy. My life's out of control," but we don't do anything about it, which makes me wonder if we don't actually enjoy it. You know, if we really hated it so much, we would do something, but we don't. And I wonder if maybe we kind of enjoy being so busy. I wonder if for a lot of us, it's kind of almost a badge of honor. You know, it kind of makes us feel important. So when I say to you, "Oh, I got so much to do, I am so busy," you should actually read that as, "I am so important. I've got so much to do," which means I am so, you know, I think that's kind of, and I actually think we often get addicted to busyness. Like, I think a lot of us wouldn't know what to do with ourselves if we weren't busy. And I just want to be honest with you and say, I'm with you, okay? I'm not pointing fingers because I've got this problem as well. I am, like, way overly busy. I got a million things going on. In fact, let me help you to figure out if you're like me, if you're too busy. I made a little quiz for you. And so I'm going to give you a quiz. You guys can keep score on yourself and tell me if you are too busy or not. You ready? You ready? This is not a rhetorical question, people. All right, ready? Here we go. If you like to eat at fast food restaurants, not because it's good food or even because it's cheap food, but just because it's fast food, give yourself 5 points. If you think going inside, ordering, waiting 2 minutes for your food, and having to sit down to eat is way too much time, and so you go through the drive-thru and eat in your car as nature intended, give yourself 10 points. Keep a score. If you use a combination shampoo and conditioner to eliminate the consuming rinsing time that other less intelligent people do, yeah, some of you don't need that, but I understand. Give yourself 10 points. How about this? If when someone is talking to you and you don't want to be in the conversation, you find yourself nodding your head really fast, hoping it will increase their talking speed, give yourself like 20 points for that. If you constantly worry that there's just not enough time in the day and how am I going to get everything done, 10 points. If when you order a pizza from Domino's, you write down the time that you ordered it to make sure they really do get it there in 30 minutes, we'll give yourself 5 points for that. If your life is filled with clutter, like if you have stacks of paper all around the house and there's books that haven't quite been finished and piles of clothes that still need to be put away, 10 points. If you find yourself doing any of the three following things at one time, driving, talking on the phone, watching TV, using your computer, reading a book, listening to music, going to the bathroom, or making macaroni and cheese, 20 points. If you buy the bottles of peanut butter and jelly in the same jar so you don't actually have to spread each one individually, give yourself 20 points because that stuff doesn't even taste good, right? You're just doing that for speed. And finally, if when you are approaching a red stoplight, you count the amount of cars in each lane so that you can get in the shortest lane, give yourself 10 points. But if you're the kind of person who, when you realize there's the same amount of cars in two different lanes, so you find yourself estimating based on the make and models of the cars in each lane, which are going to speed away the fastest, give yourself like 50 points for that one. So how'd you do? Are you like me? We are just busy people, right? We've got too much going on. We're kind of hyper with everything we have to do. And you might say, so what? So what? I mean, yes, it's true. It's me. But who cares? Why is this a big deal? Why is this a problem? It is a problem. And here's why. Busy people tend to be superficial people. That stings a little, stings me, but it's true. Because the thing things that it takes for a person to mature take time. And time is the one thing that busy people don't have. And so we don't invest time in the things that mature us. Busy people also tend to be lonely people, right? Because relationships are based on love, and love takes time. And they're based on communication and listening, and that takes time. And we don't have time. And so we tend not to build the kind of relationships we need, and we tend to be lonely people. And maybe worst, busy people tend to feel very far from God. They do. The busier you are, the more likely it is that you feel distant from God. And the reason is because what God wants with us is a relationship. God's not looking for religion with you. No interest in it. God wants a relationship, and relationships take time. There's love and there's communication, and that's what God wants with us, and we just don't have the time for it. There's a great verse in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." He's like saying, sacrifice your busyness. Embrace the habit, the spiritual habit of slowing, so you can be still and know me, so that you can take the time to really listen to me and know me and hear from me. It's a relationship. And so if we're going to do that, if we're going to become the me we want to be, we need to sacrifice some of our busyness and embrace the habit of slowing. You might ask, how? Like, practically, how do I do that? Well, I think our ultimate goal would be to have kind of this practice of slowing kind of permeate our entire lives. But maybe a good first step for most of us would be to establish a slowing time each day. So, like here's what I do. When I get up, just about every day, I'll take the first 30 minutes, maybe an hour, to just go slow. And so instead of like jumping on my computer and checking my emails and doing all that kind of stuff, I'll open my Bible and I'll read some. And I'm not just reading it because I have to. I'm like, I'm reading it asking God, man, help me to know you more. God, help me to find myself in what I'm reading and to know how it applies to my life and what I need to do and change. And then I'll just take some time to pray and I'll just thank God for who he is. And I'll just kind of pour out my heart to him, the things I'm worried about and concerned about and upset about and excited about. And I'll look forward to my day and just kind of think, man, what do I have going on today? And I'll invite God to be with me through that day. I'll say, God, I've got this meeting. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't know what to say. And so can you help me? God, man, I'm really excited about this opportunity, but what if I screw it up? And so would you help me to have the courage to do that and just kind of walk through my day with God? And then I get to my busyness. And I wish I didn't, but I do. And for a lot of people, what they do is they'll end with a time of slowing as well. They'll take the last couple of minutes of their day just to kind of be quiet again and spend some time listening to God and saying, God, how did I do today? Was my focus on you? Did I really experience your love? Did I walk through this day as someone who's loved by you? And just kind of slow yourself down at the end. I would really encourage you, I would challenge you to start your day or find some time that's really good for you in your day where you can say, all right, I'm going to have a half hour slow time every day where I just connect deeply as I can with God so that I can become the me I want to be. All right? And by the way, so you might say, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do that. That sounds good. That's important, right? And so you might try it. And here's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess it's going to be really difficult for you. Like, I think you'll enjoy it, but I don't think you'll be like, this is awesome. I think you'll be kind of antsy and be like, I got to get going. I got stuff to do. I got to check my email. I got to whatever. And if it's difficult, that's okay. I think it's supposed to be, right? That's why it's a sacrifice. It's not easy to make sacrifices, right? You're giving up something you need, you want, you love, but for something you love more. And so if it's difficult, that's fine. It's supposed to be. All right? Second sacrifice we're going to talk about, that the Bible talks about a lot, is a sacrifice of our money, which is what the Bible calls stewardship. It's the habit of stewardship. I don't know if you know this, but when the Bible talks about giving money to God, it actually says that that's a sacrifice we make to him. For instance, there's this guy in the Bible named Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he writes a letter to this church at Philippi thanking them for the financial gifts that they gave to his kind of missionary work. And he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, about their financial gifts, he writes, "They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice," there it is, "pleasing to God." And so the Bible repeatedly tells us that we are supposed to give some of our money to God. In fact, it gives a little more detail, and it actually gives us some guidelines on how much to give. It tells us that our habit should be to give God at least 10%, gulp, I know, at least 10% of whatever we bring in. So for instance, in 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Bible says this. It says, "On the first day of the week," Sunday, for us maybe Monday, "set aside some of what you have earned and give it as an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn." And so you kind of get the idea of percentage giving. And then the Bible says in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says, "The purpose of tithing," Let's pause there. Maybe you've heard that word. If you grew up in church, you've heard the word tithing. Literally, the word tithing means tenthing. That's exactly what it means. You can tithe anything. It means to take a tenth off of something. And so it says the purpose of tithing or tenthing, giving 10%, here's why you do it, is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. And so in the Bible, there's this idea that we should sacrifice our money to practice the spiritual habit of stewardship. Stewardship is an interesting word. A steward is someone who is entrusted with something that belongs to someone else. Okay? So if I give you something and say, hey, would you take care of this for me? You are a steward of what I have. And so what the Bible teaches is that everything we have, including our money, belongs to God. We're just taking care of his stuff. And what God says to us is, hey, all your money is mine. Okay, you really don't have money. And the ability you have to make money comes from me. So everything is mine. I just like 10% of that back from you each week. And you can keep 90% and do whatever you want with that other 90%. And so God asks us to do this. And I guess I would ask you right now to kind of do that thing where I said monitor your response. Because my guess is that some of you are like, man, that's beautiful. Like the idea of giving back to God, of recognizing this isn't mine. I mean, God's given it to me. And so to give him back and just recognize that it's his, beautiful. The idea of being generous instead of kind of selfish, but beautiful. The idea of getting to put my money into something that lasts for all eternity rather than stuff that rusts, beautiful. So some of you are probably thinking that. There are probably others of you who are a little bit offended right now, right? And you're like, huh, I knew this was coming. You know, what was this church? 5 months old, now they're talking about money and whatever. And you're feeling a little bit offended. And I would tell you, whichever response you have reveals your heart, right? If it's beautiful, it's because there's some love driving that. And if it's offended, it's because there's a lack of love. Again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's why we're here. We're trying to learn, why should we love God? Like, why should he be important to us, and how do we love God? But if you're offended, I would say that's the issue. Here's the deal. It reveals our heart, right? When we give and our reaction to giving money reveals our heart, but more importantly, it expands our heart towards God. This is a really powerful principle that the Bible teaches, and it applies to everything. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Put up on the screen. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? He says, where your treasure is, where you put your money, is also where your heart will go. He teaches us this principle for life, that your wallet and your heart are intrinsically connected. You cannot separate them. And so the idea is, whatever I give my money to, my heart follows. I can't help it. And it's true, right? If you think about it, if you put a lot of money into your house, you start caring about your house, right? If you buy a crappy, junky house, you don't care so much about it, right? If you put a lot of money into your car, you care about that car. If you put a lot of money into New Kids on the Block memorabilia, you're a fool, kid, right? You just kind of realize, whatever I put my money into, look, my heart goes with it. And so I think what we realize there is we say, wait a second, what does that mean about what I should do with my money? I think it means that I should put my money into the things I want to care about the most, right? Because my heart's going to follow. And so when I invest in something, I'm gonna care more about it. I'm going to love it more. It expands my heart. And so if I want to love my wife, I should put my money there. If I want to love my kids, I should put my money. I can't help but care more about them. It's just the way we all work. And if we want to put God first in our lives, if we want to grow in our love for God, which is the me I want to be, then I have to give some of my money to God. The more I invest, the more I'm just going to have my heart expand to him. And if I don't do that, I've lost a powerful tool, habit of spiritual growth. In fact, Jesus said this too, right after that whole, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Matthew 6:24, he says this. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or it will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He says it's just impossible because your heart and your wallet are connected. And so if you love your money so much, you won't give any to God, you're just not going to love God the way you want to because you can't do both. And so we need to find ourselves and kind of lead ourselves to a place where we love God more than our money. And where we practice this habit of stewardship by sacrificing our money. All right? We still good? Here's the third sacrifice. It's not much better, by the way. A little bit, but not much. The third sacrifice is that God asks us to sacrifice our rights, which we're going to call, the Bible calls, the habit of submission. Okay? One of the ways we grow is by getting these habits in our lives, and one of those habits is submission, where we sacrifice our rights. You know, the way we've all tried to live our lives, like every one of us, is we try to establish our rights, right? We will fight for our rights. We will demand our rights. If we have to, I will sue you for my rights, right? And so we live lives of, you can't tell me what to do. You are not the boss of me. You can't make me, right? Because I am me and nobody else gets to tell me what to do because I'm the king of my domain, right? Which seems to be kind of logical. It's what the world teaches, except for that God comes along and goes, wrong. Upside down, backwards, completely wrong. He says, believe it or not, and this may be difficult to believe, the me you want to be, the me that has joy and freedom and courage and fulfillment, is a me that sacrifices your rights and submits yourself to God and others. The Bible talks about this all the time. Like Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it's up there, he says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, right? Not fight for his rights. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submit to one another, not just to God, but to one another, out of reverence for Christ. And so God's saying, listen, you don't have to have your own way. You don't. Instead, what you need to do is you need to sacrifice your rights so that you can submit to God and to others. And so the idea is, man, if God asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Okay? Even if I don't want to. Even if I feel like, wait a second, I've got my rights, and that's not something I want to do, we still do it because we've sacrificed our rights for God. And the cool thing is, we just start to understand as we grow in this, you know what? It may seem like backwards to do that, but what I've learned is that there is a God who loves me more than I love myself. There is a God who understands life and who understands me better than I do. And so when he asks me to do something, because he loves me and with his wisdom, it's smarter than what I think I should do. So if I think, wait, my rights and I don't want to do that, I'm probably wrong. There's a real good chance. And so I'm just going to sacrifice my rights and do whatever he asks. And God says, not only that, but we also sacrifice our rights for others. And so if there are moments in my life, and there's tons, where I realize, man, right now, I could do this thing that would really help you, but I don't want to. Right now, you know, I walk into this room, and there's a most comfortable seat, and there's the uncomfortable seats, and I want the most comfortable seat, but I could sacrifice my rights to take the uncomfortable seat so you can have, I don't want to. There's all kinds of things where we don't want to, but what God says is sacrifice your rights for others. Submit yourself to others. And here's the deal. Here's the great surprise. What the Bible teaches and what I've experienced as I've tried to practice this is even though it seems kind of restricting, right? I mean, doesn't it seem like if you live that life, a life where you're just going to do whatever God says and you're going to try to live for others instead of yourself, it's almost like you put yourself in a prison, right? Because, you know, I'm not free anymore. I'm not free to do whatever I want. You've kind of restricted me, and now I got to do what God wants, what other people want. And it feels like you've been restricted. But here's the truth. It's freeing. It is the most freeing way to live life. Absolutely. It's incredible. You're freed up in all kinds of ways. Like, finally, you are free from the burden of having to get your own way. Think about it. We spend a lot of our life fussing and fuming and angry and bitter because I didn't get my way. And we fight to get my way. And that is restricting, right? What's freeing is to be freed up to realize it's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal. Most things are not nearly as important as we think they are. And instead of having this burden of going through life, having to demand my rights and get my way, I'm freed up to go, you know what? I just want to do what God wants. And I just want to serve other people. Freeing. It's absolutely freeing. And not only are you freed up to just, you know, get over it and not be so uptight about things, you're also freed up to actually care about other people. Because as a person who's fighting for my rights and demanding my rights, I don't really care about others. You know, I have my agenda that I'm worried about. But when I'm willing to sacrifice my rights and submit myself to others, I'm free. I am free for the first time in my life to love people unconditionally because I've stopped demanding that they love me in return. That's freeing. I'm free to finally rejoice with your success rather than being secretly jealous of it. I'm free, finally, to have like genuine sorrow when you fail instead of having a little bit of secret joy that, yeah, you're not doing any better than me either. That's freeing to actually care about other people. And so God says, listen, the me you want to be is not a me that demands your rights, fights for your rights, sues for your rights. It's a me that sacrifices your rights and goes through life trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? I'll do it. What can I do to serve other people and put them first? I'll do it. And it's the best life there is. It's the me I want to be. And it expands our hearts. We grow closer to God and more like Jesus. So I don't know how you're feeling right now, right? I mean, those are some big things to give up. Let's be honest, yeah? You know, it's like, man, my time is really important to me. There's a sense in which what I have is time. That's life is time. And so you're telling me I need to sacrifice my time and sacrifice my busyness to slow down so I can be with God. And you're telling me to sacrifice money. You know, money's kind of a big topic, and we don't like to talk about it. It's a big thing in my life. Now, today, you're telling me I need to sacrifice some money for God. And I've got my rights. And you're telling me to sacrifice my rights. Basically, you've told me to give up the most important things to me. They're big sacrifices, and I understand that. But here's one thing I would think about if I were you. As big as those sacrifices are, and they are, they pale in comparison to the biggest sacrifice ever made, which is not anything you've ever done for God or will do for God, but what God did for you, right? Yes, God's asking us to make some sacrifices for him, but he's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done for us, because God gave us his son. You know, often, I think Christians will kind of think about the sacrifice Jesus made and was willing to do when he gave up himself to be butchered and to be crucified. And we're like, man, that was a sacrifice, and it was. But I wonder if maybe even the bigger sacrifice was God the Father being willing to give his son for that. I can't imagine. And he did it because of love, right? He wasn't offended at the idea. I would be, but he wasn't, because his love for you was so great that it was actually beautiful to be able to give his son that he might have a relationship with you. And so, yeah, God's asking us to give up some things that might be big for us, but he gave up bigger. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a couple minutes just to play with these ideas and to sit with them, just to breathe a little bit and to process. And my guess is that there's probably some stuff churning in you tonight. You know, there's some sensitive topics, and maybe right now you're thinking, man, that'd be beautiful, but how could I do that? Or maybe you're thinking, I am offended. And what does that say about me? So what are you saying that I'm offended by this? And I'd just love for you to just kind of process that and wrestle with it. And if you believe in God, ask him. Talk to him about that. And if you don't, just maybe kind of monitor your own heart and say, God, I don't know if you're up there, but if you are, tell me something. What do you want me to hear about this? And during this time, we also make communion available. There is the elements of communion at that station, and then one in the back, and one over here, and one back there. And communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that help us to remember Jesus' sacrifice. It's kind of a cool thing to make that available every week, I think, because we can't get through a week without realizing, man, God hasn't asked me to do anything that doesn't pale in comparison to what he did for me. And the bread represents the body of Christ given on the cross. The cup represents the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And it's just a way for us to remember, man, there is something offensive about this. And there that somebody had to die for me. But it is so beautiful that someone loved me that much. So I'm going to pray. We'll give you about 2 minutes or so just to pray and hang out and whatever you need to do. And if you want, you can go take communion. All right, let's pray. God, thanks so much that you are a God of love. God, thank you that although there are things you ask us to do which give us pause, you know, that maybe are a bit troubling. And I can remember the first times I heard some of these ideas and thinking, how am I gonna be able to give up money? And I don't think I can give up my rights. I fight for my rights. But realizing, man, not only is what makes this beautiful love on my part, but the reason you're asking me to do this is your love and the fact that you want a better life for me. God, the path to the me I want to be is not an easy one, but I pray it's one that we walk together. And I thank you, God, that Jesus walked the road he did and that he gave up his life and made the greatest sacrifice of all. Thanks for communion, which is a great reminder of that. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.